direction is for each of us. We praise you and lift you up this day as we gather here in your holy name. We desire only to please you and wish for you to look upon each of us as your dutiful servant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, most of you probably remember and know that I lost my mother 3 years ago and lost my dad 6 months ago or 7 months ago. Well, since then, I was blessed with this duty that I get to go through every paper that they've got, because there are certain papers that are quite important, and there's about 90% of the papers that are absolute junk. Well, I've been going through them for the last 7 months. I've been really tempted at times just to take the whole mess, throw them in the garbage somewhere, and light a fire. Just be done. I can walk away. It's over and done with. I am so glad that I did not do that. Very glad. Because while I've been going through them, you know, at the very first, I found old checks from 1962 and lots of records for taxes that were from 1970. And you think, this is ridiculous. But as I was digging deeper and deeper, I ran across old articles and stuff. And then I'd find pictures that I didn't recognize. I'd find an obituary and various things like that. And I start reading some of these things, and I'd realize that my dad had kept all of the records that his dad had, his mother had, and stored everything from way back from when they came here, as far as the Pflugel family came here. So I was quite blessed getting to read through many of those things. And I discovered that I'm the fifth generation since they came here from Norway. And today I'm going to read to you, or provide to you, actually, a sermon that my grandfather gave 100 years ago this year. He was asked at that point to provide a sermon to the Winnebago County Young People's Christian Historical Society. So I was reading through that one day, and when Pastor Bob asked if I would take the pulpit today, I thought, this is kind of appropriate. It's, even though it's 100 years old, it's very appropriate. I won't give it in Norwegian like Grandpa did, though. I'm pretty sure he did, because he spoke Norwegian pretty fluently. And just keep in mind, you know, that this is a 100-year-old sermon. I'm not going to change the words. I'm going to try not to change them anyway. I'm going to use his exact words. So there are some that may be a little offensive in today's society, you know, because they were a little harsh speaking back then. They talked a lot of hellfire and brimstone when they spoke. So if it is, I'm sorry ahead of time, but it is what it is. Just remember where it came from. The community at that time was quite unsettled yet. There were still Indians around. There was still some rather rough characters around. So it wasn't real pretty at that time. So here's Grandpa's. It's Edward Pflugel, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, some time ago, I was requested by the program committee of the Young People's Society to deliver an address today, and I promised to do so. But I've been very busy lately, and I haven't had any time whatever to prepare such a speech, so I'll therefore have to leave it until some future date. But since I'm on the program and not wanting to deceive any of you, since I'm appearing here, I've put down on my paper a few thoughts that I wish to read and share with you today. In the Bible, we learn that there is but one thing God wants us to be. He wants us to be a Christian. What we learn from there is there is one thing that God wants us as Christians to do. That's to go out and help others become Christians. Pretty simple. God is our master, and he tells us a thing to do. It's our duty to do it. Outside of living a Christian life, which is our own benefit, God tells us to do one thing. He tells us to help others become Christians. God tells us to do that, and it's our duty to do it. Let me repeat that. It's our duty to do that. Let's turn to our Bibles in Romans chapter 10. Begin with verse 11. Your insert has all of the scriptures that I'm going to use today, so if you want to get ahead of the game a little bit. Romans 10. Begin with verse 11. And I'm going to read that from the old King James, because that's what Grandpa did. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll say a few words today about our duty as Christians. Let us take a look at our field of duty, or in more familiar terms, it's called the mission field. Our mission field is geographically divided into two parts, the foreign, or sometimes called the heathen mission, and the home mission. Let's first take a glance at the heathen mission. The heathen is born of heathen parents. From birth unto death, he lives a life of suffering, both bodily and spiritually. He does not know the true God as we do. He does not know the way to eternal happiness through grace of our self-sacrificing Savior, Jesus Christ, as we do. He has no comfort in his life. He has no hope after death. He lives in sin and sorrow. And try to imagine, if you can, the death of a heathen. He's always been told by his subconscious that the gods he fears are not true gods, and that there is a place of unbearable suffering in store for him after death. Oh, my friends, just imagine he lies there now, dying. We can't imagine his nerve-wrecked groans and cries of anguish, of hopelessness, and of terror. He sees the very hell before his eyes, as we can learn from the last words of many a dying heathen. Oh, my friends, this is enough to make our hearts bleed for the heathen and to drop our heads in shame at our own cold hearts and at our thanklessness to God for what he has done for us. Let us now turn to Luke 10. In verse 27 it says, "And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." That last point's really important. Now, we cannot all go out to the heathen countries as missionaries, but it's not required of us all either. Do you know, friends, that many young people in our Lutheran church, yes, even our own division of this church, the United Norwegian Lutheran Church, stand ready to go to the heathen countries as representatives with the Word of God, but we do not supply them the necessary money required for a task like that. It is, however, true, we have done far more for our missionaries lately than we have before, but we're far from doing our duty. God requires more. Let us open our hearts for the heathens, and our pocketbooks will open of themselves. There is one more thing included in our mission duty that we sadly neglect, although it does not touch our shy and our selfish pocketbook. Yes, it's prayer. Jesus has told us to pray for the heathen mission, but how often is it neglected? And when we pray our Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," how often do we do that only in habit? No, my friends, we must read our mission literature in order that we may become interested in this. It's our great duty. And let us not forget to pray for the heathen missions. Let us now take a look at our home missions. Again, let's turn to our Bibles in Romans 10, beginning with verse 14. Romans 10, beginning with verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Scattered over the broad prairies and all through the great forests, we find people that have left home and gone out into the unsettled wilderness and taken homesteads where they intended to build their homes and spend their lives as pioneers of these wild and lonely regions. These young men and women were born of Christian parents in a Christian congregation and a Christian community, just as we are. They were baptized and confirmed and lived under Christian influence just as we do. They were God-fearing young men and women. But they were young. They owned no property. They were inexperienced. But they were thrifty, healthy, and enterprising young people who dared the hardships and danger of pioneer life. They have settled in the wild, far-off corners of our civilization. But my friends, they are now suffering from want of religious nourishment. There are no Christian congregations, no churches, no ministers. They are too poor to supply these. Their neighbors are of other nationalities and other religions, mostly Catholic, or of no religion at all, living an ungodly life and being a temptation and a bad example for those inexperienced young people. What shall our poor people out there do? What can they do? At first, they miss greatly their religious nourishment. They suffer untold hunger and thirst after church, after the soul-stimulating communion and soothing words of God's grace from the pulpit, and after the company of Christian people. In their despair, they will sooner or later give up on God entirely and either be picked up by the Catholics or some other such creed, or they will hopelessly forsake religious entirely. A lot of our young people leave home the same way and go to the great cities in search of employment, of course. These are even more subject to temptations and sin and ungodliness than the first named. One after another of them slowly but surely sink into the holes of sin, crime, sorrow, and shame. They think there is no danger in the social glass, but before they know it, they are habitual drunkards. They see no danger in playing a game of cards or billiards, but before they know it, they are professional gamblers. And so on, in the many ways, they will slowly but surely be drawn away from God and into the snares of the devil. Let us review now in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, chapter and verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Oh, my friends, these poor young people in the Wild West and in our great cities of our own nationality, our own church, our own people, our own relatives, neighbors, and friends, our own flesh and blood. There may be someone in this crowd today who has some loved one somewhere in this broad world who, through the lack of Christian nourishment, has turned his back to God, or is in danger of doing so. Do what you can for him. First of all, do not forget to pray for him. It is our duty to help these, for they are our own. Let us supply them with Christian nourishment, as they may not, through our selfishness, be sent to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, young and old, let us dedicate our lives to the service of God. It is a noble life. It is a life in which we can help others and at the same time strengthen our own faith in God. Let us go out to our countrymen and our people with the Word of God. The different Christian institutions in our country are means through which we can help further God's kingdom. We'll also find in the jails and penitentiaries of our country young people who have at one time been Christians, whose gray-haired mothers and fathers are desperately praying to God night and day, as he will again, through his natural way, which is by the Christian church, draw them to him again. Now, my friends, just a few more remarks. There is one way in which we can be missionaries personally. When the next so-called tramp comes to your door asking for a few pennies, remember that he may sometime have been as close to God as we are. Remember that many of these tramps have at one time been true Christians. They've been brought up in Christian homes just as we are. But through poverty, they've had to leave home at an early age, seek work in the wild and ungodly world. Young and inexperienced as they were, they have fallen for the temptations and sin as just as many of us would. And now they're in the claws of sin and crime, of sorrow, of shame, despair, and nobody seems to care for them. They may have tender mothers somewhere in this world whose heart is breaking for them and whose tears and prayers are so strong it could move a rock. Let's turn to Hebrews 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Again, there is many a mother who does not know where her son is. She has not heard from him in many years. And if she could but see him for a moment, it would be enough to lay her head down in her grave in comfort. Remember this, my friends. Whenever a tramp comes around, do not just give him pennies, but also give him that which is better. Have a friendly talk with him. Try to inspire him with hope. Try to inspire upon him his parents may yet be alive, searching and praying for him. Try to impress on him that maybe his parents have not gone to their grave yet, and he might have a chance to come and see them. Especially try to impress on him that no man can fall so deeply into sin that Jesus cannot save him and forgive him through his almighty grace. Write on a piece of paper and give to him a few quotations of hope from the Bible. It just might be enough means to save him again. Remember, we're only doing our duty when you do this. My friends, we're doing our duty when we carry out our mission work. But there's one other reason why we do it. It stimulates and nourishes our own faith in God. Let us also remember that God has given us more blessings, both physically and spiritually, than he's given any other people. And let us carry on our mission work as a thanks to God for all these blessings. Thank you, Edward Fluga. To add to that, in my own words, we truly do need our mission work. Just as Grandpa says, and I think today we need it more than ever. If you look at the news that's going on these days, I think we need to do more of the home missions, actually. If you look at the horrible things that people are talking about and doing and the laws that are being passed, and obviously we need to do home mission work. Amen. Thank you.